another exciting episode of Extra Features. Today we have a fabulous writer named Gregory Woke, whose publicist sent me a full page of stuff to read, which ain't ever going to happen on this show, just so you guys know. Gregory, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me, Simon.
So, your film, Gene, I think you... Where did the name come from, I guess? I was looking for something a little bit more meaty, I guess, after watching the film.
Well, the original name was, Gene is the name of the main character, someone modeled after one of my sisters, and because part of it is biographical, it's my sister and my mother and my father, and, you know, as much as I've said, you know, people, you know, when they make their first film, should never make one that's about them or their family, because it always turns out too inward and other people don't get it, at least the films I've seen. But I did it anyway. I mean, it doesn't matter what you tell yourself, you're going to do it. It's about my sister. It's not exactly like that. It's really The Revenant with Leonardo DiCaprio, except I pictured how would he act if he were a teenage girl. So we're in the wild, and he's dealing with some animals and some other issues, and he's lost, and it's a journey of self-reflection. So I had very many different titles for the film, but the distributors I talked to said, let's just make it Gene, since it is about the girl. I said, okay, it seems like kind of a boring title, but that's fine with me.
I thought, where does the film name Giant Meteor Films come from?
That's my production company. I also make films. I've made 4 feature films, and that's, you know, like where the name is. Why did I choose that name? Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Okay. Well, might be somewhat dark, but I think humanity might be ready for a giant meteor to hit the earth.
<That's true.
laughs> It's sort of a warning, like if we don't get our act together, then I kind of wish that one would come and then whatever, some other animal would get its turn. You know, we came after the dinosaurs. I can't believe the dinosaurs were any worse than we were. So maybe the roaches will get a chance after us. I don't know.
I think you're quite right on that one. The roaches will be here for whoever's next.
I do have a story that I've written called Roaches. I'm not sure people would want to see it, but it's post-apocalyptic, and it's about the roaches have now taken over the world after a giant meteor, and they communicate. It's fun. I just like writing for fun. I don't know who, you know. If I think about something, I just feel like I have to put it down and get it out. Otherwise, it just bothers me.
When you start off the film, you show us a beautiful house I have written down and some beautiful landscapes. Like, I mean, beautiful. So my question is, where was this filmed?
It's filmed in and around Sedona, Arizona. If you haven't been there, it's a huge destination, probably the most popular kind of spa wildlife destination in southern Arizona. Beautiful red rocks everywhere, and it's just gorgeous. And then some of the scenes, we went north by the Grand Canyon to film the winter snow scenes.
I was wondering that. Okay.
It's like we say, how far north do we have to go? And I said, okay, but I want it to be snow. It's Arizona's beautiful. It's, it was 110 in most of the scenes we shot in the dry part and then below freezing, 2 hours away in the northern part. That's amazing, isn't it?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I guess, where did you find the dog? Because I think you need a certain dog look for this film.
Yes, actually it was the director's dog. We were going to rent one. Well, not rent one. Get an animal talent agent, which we did for all the other animals. But he had a dog, and I know all his dogs. He has like 5 dogs, and this is his current favorite, and which kind of upsets me because whenever he gets a new one, that's the new favorite, and the other ones just kind of go down the pecking order. And it's like, oh, then I feel sorry for the other ones. I want to give them more attention. But this was his current favorite, and he's good. He's a service dog already, and I wanted a service dog for the film, so it just fit perfectly. And he's very photogenic, as you can tell.
At the time, I'm going to go early. I'm not going to do any spoilers. I thought maybe when the girl was looking for her grandfather early in the film, that the grandfather was just had passed on. Is that something you intended?
He didn't, but it was, I think there was some kind of a forecast that it might happen or that he's kind of approaching that area. Well, you know, in the film, and this happened in real life with my dad and my sister, you know, people with dementia, ones that have a certain type of it, which is called agnosia. I don't know if you've heard of that, but actually that was the original title of the film, Agnosia, but nobody knew what it meant. And so to me, I prefer titles where you kind of wonder what they mean until you watch the film, but I guess I'm in the minority.
No, I agree with you. I'd rather have had Agnosia as the name of the film. That would have been much more interesting to me.
Yeah, I know. But it's when you get fixated, you know, some of the people with dementia, they get fixated on one point in their youth, and they're there, and they're living it, and they think that's real. And for him, and this happened to my dad, it was when he was 17, 18, he was part of this gang of kids, which he called the Pack, and he was always talking about it. Oh, the Pack is coming over, I got to go meet my Pack. And we got kind of tired of it, frankly. We all got tired of hearing about it, but after in real life, after he was gone, it made more sense to me, and I looked into it, read about it, and I, you know, obviously I felt more sympathy for that, and it kind of makes me think, like, that's his piece of heaven, or that's his heaven, that's where he wants to go to. What's the happiest time in your life for him, who was right then? I think we all have that moment in our life. This isn't for the teenagers that watch the movie, but the older people. You know, we have a few of these snapshots, and I firmly believe when we go to heaven or wherever, it's going to be that place we choose that's the happiest time of our life, and we get to choose that time. And so I think that that's where he went. He was always looking for them. He was always looking for his heaven.
Now, you have the little girl, Jean, meeting lots of things. She has hazards, she has spiders, she has snakes. She's out in the wilderness. She doesn't have much. And her mom just kind of lets her go.
Yes, sir. The mom was pretty free as far as not irresponsible by any means, but wanted Jean to be, to get out and experience things, whether they're good or bad. Of course, you know, that's in the, we know nowadays we can't always do that. You know, if we know the area where they're going, she was used to going out in the woods, during the daytime, and her dog was with her. I think that was the main thing, that she knew Ranger was going to be with her. She wouldn't say just go walking out in the middle of the night near the bus station in Phoenix or something. But, you know, she wanted her to grow up, because Jean was kind of kept inside a shell and living her safe life, things that she was used to doing. Maybe she didn't like a lot of the stuff she was doing, but, you know, the things we're used to doing sometimes are less scary than the things we don't know about. And I think the mother wanted her to kind of break out of that. That's why she kept saying, here, you go out and look for him. You know, here's some sandwiches and here's some food and water in case you're out there longer. And I think she even thought she may be spending a night there. And, people camp all the time in the woods. So, she was definitely a courageous girl and a courageous mother for having faith in her. And in the end, it proved to be right.
Oh, I agree. I do have one nitpick. I'm about 30 minutes into the film. Her clothes look too new to me.
Jeans?
Yes. And it's just a nitpick on my own, and I just picked up on that quickly. And I mean, I don't know. How did you feel about it?
Well, they weren't new, but I think what you mean, what you're saying is that they weren't weathered, like being out in the woods and showing that they're dirty. And so I think later on it is shown as dirty. But at the beginning, you're right. I think the costume should have been more like she's done this often.
Yes.
So it wasn't like right off the shelf, but she picked out the outfit from her own stuff. And I have a feeling she picked out something probably brand new.
Yeah.
So Okay, well, if that's the only nitpick you have, then I think that's it.
Well, it was just a minor nitpick that was bugging me throughout the film. I'm like, those clothes look too new.
I have plenty of it. I don't know that a producer, writer, director has. Does any, and I don't, you may do this yourself, make films, but on your own. But does anyone totally love everything that they see in the outcome? Is anyone, have you ever heard anyone say, it's perfect?
No. Absolutely not.
Okay, so it's not possible. Okay, so
no, I'm just a minor nitpick on me. Just going, that's really bugging me.
All right.
I mean, I think, I wish I had a little bit more narrative, I will say, at the beginning of the film, just to know what was going on, because like I said, I was guessing myself a lot. But those are my minor nitpicks. They're minor to me.
So you picked up, you latched on to my nitpick, and it's almost like a criticism myself since I wrote it. But the thing is, when you write something, I mean, there's as a writer, there's the film, that saying about there's the film that you write, the film that you shoot, and the film that you edit. And those can be, and usually are, very different. Well, I wrote the film, and the director, I gave him a lot of leeway and maybe more than I should have. So he chose not to film certain parts. Certain parts of my narrative, they don't make it, it's their way into it. And I know a few of the reviews I read of the film, which are very complimentary, but said it kind of felt like there were parts missing.
It's yes.
Like, yes. Yes, there are. But, it's more of a journey inside the head. And but the thing is, sometimes, less is more, and I can, as you probably can tell now, sometimes I tend to go on a little bit too long. And, some directors think the fewer words, the better.
Oh, see.
Difference of opinion. But the thing is, the dialogue is the plot.
Yes.
Because
the director, I mean, numerous times uses drone shots, I've noticed. Mm-hmm. And, I'm like, I could have used a little bit, maybe even some voiceover during those periods would have helped me a bit. But I gotta say, I wish your film, I'm gonna push it a little bit more this way. It's a Gene, a fairy tale ending. Or something. Yeah. I think your film is very marketable to young teens. Well, girls, I will say, but I don't want to put that into category. But I definitely think you're headed that way. And my next question.
Cinderella type story is what I was thinking about. And there was much more, actually. I don't know how you've only seen 30 minutes of it, and you're picking up all the things that were in my mind. It actually started out as a Cinderella story.
Okay.
Because she was kind of, she's still a good looking girl, but we depicted her as kind of ugly duckling at the beginning and doing stuff that she didn't really want to do. But, and there was a lot more dialogue with the other characters about that. I did too much research than I should have about the real Cinderella story, not the Disney one. And I interwove a lot of stuff like that in there, which to me as a writer, it's fun when you're kind of, you have something like the historical. I love Disney, of course. No, who doesn't? But I like going back to the source material, and I like darkness. More darkness, but still has a happy ending. And I think kids nowadays, teens, they understand that. I mean, maybe 20 years ago we couldn't show some of that, but nowadays they know there's bad stuff out there. And the fact is, we want them to know. We want them to know. And so there was a little bit more of that, the dark stuff in the in what I wrote, and actually in the first cut. And we changed it quite a bit to this cut because, you're not asking this question, but it became sort of a PG-13 movie with some of the darkness. And it could be a director's cut or actually a writer's cut if there is such a thing. But it was like, well, some of the distributors said, well, this is now not just a family movie. It's a family movie plus kind of an older teen movie because some of the things that happen. And so the marketing standpoint, don't you hate when marketing drives part of the output of a movie? But they said, we probably should have some of these in there. Maybe they could be deleted scenes or whatever. So, and after going to a couple of the film markets and talking to a lot of people, even though I like to make films the way I like, obviously the distributors are the ones that hold the the cards in many ways, and they're going to, they know what their customers and their viewers want. So I kind of went, I listened to them and I tried to be accommodating. I mean, I'm accommodating to a fault in some respects, but I'm very happy with how the film turned out because it is, like somebody, one reviewer told me, it's so good to watch a film that doesn't have any icky stuff in it. Now, I wouldn't say I intentionally made it without icky stuff, but it's something that everyone can watch in the family, grandfather, adults, kids, our age, without having any eyes being covered or going, ugh, they said that word, you know, which is fine. I watch movies like that myself at night sometimes when, before I go to bed because I don't want to be filled with a lot of bad thoughts before I sleep. So I'm watching Hallmark or I'm watching stuff like that. I don't tell a lot of people that, but I admit it.
It's out now.
Yeah.
Do you like Grimm Fairy Tales?
Yes. Yeah, I love them. I have several other stories that are written about them. Without being, I detest copies. I mean, you know, reboots and all this kind of stuff. I'm really not into that. I know there's a purpose for, you know, bringing the new generation and everything into it, but I really don't like that. And there's just, that's part of the reason I said I wanted to start writing, making some of the movies myself and writing. I want to make stories that I haven't seen ad nauseum over and over and over again. So to try to put a different slant on it. So that's really, to try to be original. That's what I'm really moving for is, and if you eventually see any of my other films, which are all, basically all four of my films came out this year.
Oh, wow.
I did something really stupid, and I decided to film four of my films, yes, in succession. So I took like a whole year going from one to the next, different directors, different locations, and then they were all being edited, and they all came out this year. There's a, this family film, there's a horror film, there's a comedy, there's a horror parody, and, you know, people hear that, they go, are you insane? You're a new filmmaker, and you made four feature films in 1 year together. Yeah, that, I don't know where that year went, but it was interesting. Don't do that, in case any aspiring filmmakers. But I just had some energy. I just had to get out. I don't know why, but I'm not a patient person. And some usually when I think of I want to do something, I just do it for better or worse. Because I think the energy that you have when you first think of it, you want to capture that. And sometimes you wait, then you start calculating, do it this way or that way, and then you lose some of that spark, in my view.
Okay, let's get back to your film for a bit. I still have a few more questions. I like the flashback scene. I think it was really needed to explain Grandpa's background. Michael, I thought, did a very good job of it. I liked his fight scenes a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he did. I think you really needed that to help me out what was going on, like yes, to understand him.
Yeah, these people, they did a good job at it too. And I didn't want them to do some of the scenes because they weren't trained stunt people. But they did a few, if they got a little bit too physical with each other, yeah, they're big guys, and they just said, oh, we can do that. Well, when you start falling, it's not like a film where, it's some fantasy film, you push somebody and they fly against the wall and they stand up and start fighting. If you fly against the wall, you're going to probably be in a wheelchair the rest of your life. You know, so, you know, they were really convincing, is that. Did you understand about the, going back to his, in the fight scene, how he was young and he was old and he was fighting as the young Albert at times and fighting at the, he was in the bar as the
yes.
old Albert. Okay. Oh, so that came through because I thought it was cut a little bit confusing to me, but, you know, you always need a third set of eyes to see something.
I think if you weren't paying attention when he starts off saying, I met her and I know that was the girl I wanted.
Yes. All right.
If you missed that line, you would not understand that scene.
Okay.
And I think he's just reliving his youth. That's the way I took it.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So, yeah, I took it there. I liked it. I thought that scene was very important for the film.
Yeah.
But I could also see if you took that scene out and gave me more stuff with Faith, I would be okay too.
Yeah, I think you see more Faith later.
You did.
I think the film could really be twice the length, but who wants to see that? But there's so much more footage that I have of the film, at least, you know, the same amount that's in the film, which in a way isn't good because they say, you know, when you film and then you edit, take out 10%, that's kind of the normal industry level. Film a little bit more. I filmed 200% of what needed to be in the film. And so I really have another film in there that can be probably a PG version.
Oh,
and I'm actually thinking about taking that material and putting it into something else. So,
you have a reference to you have a reference to The Wizard of Oz.
Time or Synosia, since you like it.
Sorry, you were cutting out a bit there. You seem to have a reference to Wizard of Oz at one point. Is that a personal favorite film?
Yes, I think it is. There aren't that many films that I can watch over and over when they come on. I know many people do have films like that. I typically, once I see it and I know the surprise, I know the twist, I know everything, I don't want to see it again for a long, long time. But that's one of them. Every time it comes on, I can keep it on and just watch a little bit here and there.
Now,
and I don't know, there's something about it.
This may be another.
I put that one in there, and
this may be another.
I thought of her as being Dorothy. She kept saying she wanted to go home and go back to where she was, and you know, there's no place like home. That kind of stuff. That just, you know, sometimes there's only one line of a movie somewhere that makes me have a reference, and yeah, I like it.
Did you think Faith and Gene were too much the same height?
Yes. I didn't think they were the same height when they were cast. But when I got to location in Sedona, it's like, oh, okay.
Because I thought the clothes scene didn't work for that reason.
Oh, okay. Really? So you actually, I never thought of it. I mean, I felt that when I got there, but I thought, do people really think visually that when people are together, it's the same height? You know, but it is true. I never read that. I never even heard anyone say that before until you just said it. But I think it is.
Because I rewound the film going, what is going on here? They're the same height. Why?
Yeah, because is it because you quickly see them and you think maybe it's the same person?
I did for a couple seconds. And then I'm like, no, that's two different people. They don't speak the same.
Yeah, their hair color is totally different. They don't look the same, but I know visually we're watching something. If we just see two humans the same height and we know they were the same gender, it's like, oh, wait a minute. For a second, our brain has to go, well, that's not that same person. So that's a good lesson to learn for future.
Oh, no, just the little minor things. That's what I like to look for. I got to the end of the film. I'm not going to ruin it or anything. I'm just saying I think it was a fairy tale. Was that what you written it for to be?
Yes.
Okay. Then we I came to the right ending.
Exactly. It was a fairy tale, and I think at the ending you'll see that too.
Now, you do have voiceovers from Lee Majors. Where did he come from?
He was an acquaintance of the director. And when we were down there, he was texting the director while we were filming. And actually, it was going to be somebody else doing that. I said, I asked, well, is there any chance we can get him to do it? And so we sent over, right then, we sent over the script of the lines. And he loved him, and then within a day, we had him doing the scene. So it just worked out.
So did you get to meet the $6 million man?
No, I didn't. Oh. I had to get back to some family emergency, which had something to do with the film, but I won't ruin it. No, I didn't. So that was my biggest regret of making Gene.
It's all good.
But the invitation is open. He sent me a Skype. He sent me a video of a conference telling me how much he enjoyed the lines, and it really resonated with him because he's a very spiritual person and the character he was doing was a spirit, you know. So he said, it's almost like I was talking to myself. I said, well, that's good.
My last thing, how is being the first assistant director, which you've not talked about?
I'd say it was easy because that's why you see so many of these on the credits of the film written and directed by. Those are the two components, or the two tasks of making a film that are the most related because they both require so much of a vision. writing and the directing. They're always thinking, it's always rolling in your head when you're a writer and when you're a director. Everything else, you're so focused on something else, you don't really have time to think about the story arc. But those two always are. So to me, it was just simple. And actually, now moving towards directing, just this past weekend, I directed a music video here in Chicago, and it looks great, and it's really fun, and I thought it would be stressed out, but no, it was just easy. So, yeah, it was good, and I liked helping, but I was new. I was a newbie then, and I don't have an ego, and I don't want to say I know more than anybody else. I said, well, whoever knows the best about doing this should be the one doing it. So I was there watching him and just adding, like, well, I think we missed that cue there, and it doesn't really make sense. So it was good to have me as the assistant director.
Okay. Are you ready for some fun questions?
Oh, these weren't?
No, these are my fun random questions I ask at the end of every show.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Best pizza place in Chicago?
I'd say Lou Malnati's. It's a... Well, they have thick crust and thin crust, but that's my favorite. Yeah, definitely.
Favorite place to visit in Chicago?
I think as a new person, maybe the Bean. It's a huge sculpture in Grant Park that's
I've been there.
And it's giant. You walk underneath it and see. I think it's cool. At least right now, as far as the trending top ones, that would be the trending one.
I've been there.
Yeah, cool.
Okay, I don't know if you're a sports fan, so I'm going to have to ask. Cubs or White Sox?
I'm probably more of a White Sox fan, but I enjoy going to the Cubs games because where Wrigley Field is, it's a beautiful area. I mean, there shouldn't be a stadium right there, or there should be, whatever your viewpoint on it. But there are houses like all around it. It's like, wait, what came first, the stadium or the houses? But I mean, you can't live in that neighborhood without hearing the roar of the crowd every night, and which I think is great. And people live there just for that reason. But there's always some of these naysaying residents to say, "Oh, we can't have these games at night. It keeps us up." It's like, why are you living there?
Yeah.
So I'd say going to the game is definitely worth it. I like the players on both teams. I like both teams. I think it's crazy when one team goes to the playoffs and the other doesn't. To the diehard Sox and Cubs fan, they want the other team to lose. I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me. That's how much they like the Sox or they like the Cubs. Oh, we want them to lose. Oh, you're crazy. No, so I like them both.
Well, thank you for your time. You were a wonderful guest, and good luck on your films.
Okay, thank you very much, Simon.
Okay, bye-bye. Hey, I just want to say thank you for listening to this great interview. We have more on our website at www.extrafeatures.ca. And if you enjoyed it, can you please go to iTunes and leave us an iTunes review and like us on our Facebook page. Thank you.